You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as we start 2020 with a preview of the South African Open hosted by the city of Johannesburg and pick some players to watch for the year ahead. And we catch up with a recent winner of the South African Open, Graham Storm, as he prepares for a return to the European Tour after a long injury layoff. New Year and welcome to the show. I'm Robert Lee and alongside me is 1990. Is it really that long ago, Richard Boxall?
Well, 90, so we got...
It's nice fat numbers. It's just 30 years, isn't it?
Why do you say fat?
Well, 1990 with the zero, 2020.
Oh, right. I thought you were looking at me again. No, fat numbers.
No, it's big whole chunks of numbers.
30 years.
Easy maths.
Really, that's incredible.
It is easy maths.
So I did say Richard Boxall and golf journalist, of course, Kit Alexander. Kit, how are you?
I'm wonderful. So much better to be actually here in the room alongside you rather than joining you on a phone line laid up in bed
that
with
is a
dodgy
lot
foot.
But to be honest, to Richard and I, either way, it doesn't care. It's fine, either way. I want to know, before we start, Richard, are your fingers out? Richard, listen, for those of you listening, Richard's got his finger out. When that happens, something bad is going to happen. Go on, Rich.
I was just going to say, whether you're here or not, Kit, you know, when you're not here... Right, I still look at Robert, and when you're on the other end of the phone, I look at your space here where you're sitting and talk to your open space.
We should have got a little printout of me, my face, pop it on the chair, and then you could hold eye contact just as we
plenty of things we put on
today.
That chair, I can assure you,
and of course,
you're not here.
When you're on the phone, Kit, Richard's a lot of that going on, a lot of that. New Year's resolutions, Richard?
If I was a golfer, don't stand too close to it after you've hit it.
Don't be in a place where you can hear it land.
Yes, that's also another good one. Do you know, before as we were coming in, you didn't say you were going to ask me anything like that. But I haven't really got. I mean, just
do you want time? Do you need time?
Let me just go to Kit first.
Well,
if I could keep breathing for another 20 years,
Kit, who's here? This is just for 2020, Kit.
No more horrific injuries, and I'm not a New Year's resolution kind of person. I think if you want to do something, just do it. Doesn't matter the time of year. If you want to improve yourself, if you want to get a new job, if you want to. Enjoy life a bit more, seize the moment.
Golfing year ahead, Richard, how big is it going to be? It's going to be a massive year.
Yeah, it'll be big. Actually, I'm not going to the Ryder Cup.
Well, who cares?
Me?
I mean, it's still happening. You hate going there.
What did you say?
A bit of chanting behind the first tee.
Like all that. I shall get to see all that from my... my settee.
let's ask Kit, somebody that's got half a clue. Kit, how big a year is it going to be?
It is a gigantic year.
That's what I was after.
We've got the four majors, the four WGCs, the FedEx Cup, the Race to Dubai, all of the good stuff we normally get.
Didn't we have those last year?
Wait for the plus, Boxy.
He gave you the cake. Here comes the cherry.
Here it comes.
The Olympics in Tokyo. It was great in Rio. People didn't know how it was going to go down, but in the event, it was a wonderful tournament. I know Rosie has absolutely loved being an Olympic champion for 4 years and everything that's come with it. We've now got it in Tokyo, which is a more golf-mad country than Brazil was. The hype's there. I think all the big players are going to want to be there.
I like the running and the Ryder Cup.
Richard, the heat's going to be there.
The heat will definitely
They've got demisters every three holes for the players.
That sounds lovely.
Have they?
Yeah. They've got tents with demisting things in
there. Really?
Apparently so. Because it's going to be so hot and humid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I suppose height of summer in Japan.
It's brutal.
I have played it in August in Japan.
And
I played in a place called Fukuoka many, many years ago. That is a long time ago now, but it was really hot and sweaty. It was really difficult. You know, you've played in Nigeria, haven't you?
Yes, very much so.
But it's the kind of place where you know, as a young kid, you put your scorecard in your back pocket, you know, with your pencil. But you don't when you're in Nigeria, because by the time you've done two or three holes, it's absolutely soaking wet.
It's paper mache. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're six under.
Is it all over?
Is it all over?
Is that why you always won in the really hot and humid countries?
That's right, yes. How'd you get on? Usual. What do you mean? 64.
Yeah. No, that's not the one. The one that's really annoying as a pro, you say to one of your compatriots, how'd it go? Four. So what
four
is that,
what?
76 or 68? 68. Yeah, whatever. Don't forget to check out the previous episode of the Race to the Bayer show for an in-depth interview with Tommy Fleetwood as Richard Boxall is cut off in his prime and our picks of the 2019's most memorable moments.
Just before you move on very swiftly.
Well, if you want, Richard.
Dynamo producer's going mental here, but you know when you said four or five, that's always the people that are playing so well that they just assume everyone's 4 or 5. You know what I mean? How do you get right. on? Five.
Overpar doesn't exist in 77. Their mind anymore.
77. That's, yeah. that's it. I mean, that's always the comeback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever they say, it's you assume it's that many over just
exactly.
to annoy them.
Just to annoy them, yeah. Anyway, you can move on now, Rob.
Well, I'm thinking 2020, brand new year, first event up on the European Tour for this brand new year of 2020 is the South African Open, hosted by the city of Johannesburg at Rand Park, two golf courses and a massive field.
Yeah, 240 players. We got a lot of guys from the Sunshine Tour involved as well. Going pretty deep down into the rankings, into the exemption categories on the European Tour. So a good opportunity for pretty much anyone who's got any status on the European Tour that wanted to tee up to make a fast start to the year. Good to see a few guys who might be more playing on the Challenge Tour, getting a start and seeing what they can do, if they can build some momentum and maybe parlay that into a few more starts.
Two courses, Richard, the Firethorn, yep. which is the tougher of the two, and the Bush Willow.
Yes, no, they are. You've got to...
Bush Willow would suit you.
Bush Willow is... Yes, Bush Willow. You mean hitting it left to right and right, like shaping it.
Shaping
know?
It, yeah.
Round a shorter course. No, I've been out there a few times and commentated on this event. As you say, the Bush Willow course, that's where you've really got to make some proper scoring on around there. There's a lot of low scores come out on that course.
Is Bush Willow... Is it a plant? Is it kind of a tree, a shrub or something like that?
Bush Willow? They're both willows. Plants, aren't they? Welcome to Gardener's Questions.
Absolutely. Firethorn, Richard, in the end, you play the weekend on that one after you've made the cut.
You do, yes. It's a massive field, as you say, though. 240 players, but it's...
It's quite a cull. Again,
it's a massive cull, but again, you see, that will be quite hot and sweaty as well out there, let me tell you.
But at least in Joburg, you're at 6,000 feet. It's yeah, kind you'll get of dryish heat.
It is, but you know, you'll get... You'll also get your guaranteed thunderstorm at 4:01.
That used before climate change. That used to be the case. 4:01 in South Africa,
did it,
round
David?
About Joburg, every single day. You got a thunderstorm for 30 minutes. Then the sun came out and it was perfect again. Every single day.
Set your watch by it.
Yeah, you could. I know. It's hard to stop you two in full flow, but. Every year we say this, it's the second oldest champion.
Yes.
And it will continue to be as long as it exists. It's now the 109th South African Open, which is incredible.
Do you know...
109 of them.
No, that's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely. Yes, what's the oldest apart from... I think it's the French, isn't it?
Well, the
Obviously,
Open.
The Open's pretty old, but I mean, I'm talking about sort of European Tour events.
I think that, yeah, the French the next be oldest the oldest one, continental.
The next Europe. Oldest one will be the French, I think.
So you think it goes Open, South Africa?
Yes,
Open.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then French, I think.
I think it is French, yeah. Anyway, go on. Yes, there's some good old players won this, Robert.
Defending champion Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, when we come to the tipping department later on, he may well get a mention, maybe.
Yeah, Louis Oosthuizen. It's amazing. Louis Oosthuizen and Richard Sterney look like two exactly same players to me, the way they swing the club.
Do they?
I
Richard
do me, yeah.
Sterney would be delighted to hear that, I imagine.
I think
Louis's
look-
got a great swing.
Yeah, well, I still think... I would think Richard Sterney's got a great swing.
I think Sterney swings it really well, yeah. I'd agree with that. It's not quite Louis, I don't think, if you're, you know, into sort of swing porn, but...
Do you think Thomas Peters and Thomas Dietrich swing it fairly similarly?
No.
Adam Scott and Thomas Dietrich?
No.
Well, we're not really getting anywhere
stuck
here,
in your tracks a bit there, didn't
yeah,
they?
I don't exactly. know.
Do you think anyone swings it?
Similarly to...
Similarly to
I think... I tell you what I do think are quite similar. The power ratio is very different, but Matt Wolff and... Jim Furyk?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, I guess you could argue. That same, there's a lot goes on at the top of the backswing.
The same
on the
lines
way back,
going but... back and the same reroute coming down. It's very similar. Hands very close to the body when they hit it. I mean, Matt Wolff is obviously like
Who's
a coil spring.
Who's the name
spring.
Of the chap who hits the ball and then wriggles all over the
Ho
place?
Ho Sung Choi.
Is that who it is?
I think it probably started off as we all have a little twitch if the ball's going one way. You sort of give
Kit.
It a bit of body
speak
movement.
Robert,
well,
you
that's because I
never
hit it offline a lot.
I've never
I
seen
get
you in
very
full
twitchy.
Flight.
I get very twitchy when the ball's in midair, but I think he's kind of exaggerated it to good effect, if you like, to keep right. the myth going. And to be fair, it's worked. You've got a few invites to the PGA Tour, which you wouldn't have otherwise. So.
I know, but...
Gets to play Pebble
it's,
Beach.
It's a novelty. It's AT&T. A novelty. No, it's a novelty act. Don't worry about it. Rasmus Højgaard.
Only
with Højgaard there. Yeah. Rasmus, 18 years of age, Richard, and already a winner on the European Tour.
He looked very grown up, didn't
it's very
he?
Very rare, isn't Mauritius. It?
Yeah,
18?
Yeah, very rare. I think it was John Morgan, wasn't it, interviewed him?
John Morgan was there,
On the 18th, and you listened to him chat. He was... he's actually sort of was chatting like he was 30.
He's absolutely cool
Incredible.
As a cucumber. I was talking to John over Christmas about him. And he said he was sort of trying to get the down low from a few of the other Danish players in the field. And he spoke to Søren Kjelten about it. And he said, him and his twin, Nikolai, who's also going to be playing on the European and Challenge Tour next year, are just absolutely cool as a cucumber. What you see is what you get. Nothing flusters them. And you could see, even in the playoff, you know, you're 18 years old. Yeah. You think, God, I'm in a playoff. This is great. At worst, I lose this. I make a nice check. I'm a wonderful start. You might get a bit excited, but he never, ever changed.
Let's back the bus up, Richard, a minute. I need to pick your brain on this one.
Yeah, go on.
Just to what Kit said there, he mentioned something that he and John Morgan over Christmas discussed Rasmus Højgaard.
Well,
I'm leaving that one with you.
That is little worrying.
Because all the conversations I had over Christmas,
we're not
Rasmus Højgaard didn't make it in there.
No, funnily enough, not in mine either. But I cannot for the life of me think of the chap he beat in the playoff, who brilliant bunker shot he played on the second extra hole, I think, or the first extra hole. Højgaard beat, it was a Frenchman.
Oh, Rosner.
Rosner, yeah. Antoine Rosner.
That's it. Was it not a three-way playoff and one went out early?
But yeah.
Well, do you want the other two names? Is that what you're after now? Confirmation, it was Renato Paratori, the quickest man in the West. Oh,
lightning.
I like watching him play. That's how golf should be played.
Yeah.
And you can go, it just goes to show, for some, they do these quick rounds sometimes or whatever, you know, play the quick golf. Mm. You go around in 2 hours and 50 minutes, still knock it around in 67, 68.
Didn't Thomas Peters run round when he was out early? One event, back end of last year, he was...
Yeah,
out
he did,
on
yeah.
his own. He ran round in about two and a half hours and shot under par.
I think he was...
Rowie and I once played 2 hours, 2 minutes, starting off third on the Sunday. The third group from the front. We weren't the front group. We were the third group.
No, was this
group.
The Lancome?
No, this wasn't. This was German Masters in Stuttgart.
Okay.
2 hours, 2 minutes we were.
I bet the groups
We would have broken 2 hours, except for Rowie started going quite nicely and started pacing up to the last few greens. We would have broken 2 hours. But I think we were six under between us.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That's what separates us, though. Because other quick rounds are at 79, 80.
Was that the course which we played off a mat on about the seventh or the eighth hole? We used to play off a mat, Kit, at the time. Yeah. Because
there was a par five off a mat because it was set back in the trees and no sunlight went in there.
Really?
They couldn't grow any grass. So you played off AstroTurf, yeah.
There's a couple of spots on the European Tour that have similar to that. I think the trophy Hassan Dur might have one that's set back in the trees and struggles a bit. I don't know if they actually put it off a map.
Rich has got a nightmare as well, that place.
Wow. I'm going there again.
Rabat.
And it's in June this time.
Oh, that's going to be warm.
It's the ninth hole for you, Richard, isn't it, the par three?
Oh, I used to wake up screaming about it in the middle of the night, yeah.
As Richard says, it's got a green that's big enough to land a jumbo jet on, and I didn't think I could get a six iron on that.
No, I didn't. So I used to open the face, get ahead of it, and appease the water gods fairly early and go, that's that.
Swimming.
I used to hate water. That was my that's why I gave up. I hated water. Anyway, we've waffled on and gone off at tangents there.
He's getting very annoyed with you.
Yes.
Other people that are playing, we mentioned Højgaard, Goose Dasen. One of your favourites, Richard, Christian Bezuidenhout, is going to be taking part?
Christian Bezuidenhout, since I first saw him when he first came out on the tour, I don't know how long ago, it wasn't that long ago, probably...
2 years.
Four. I was going to go 4 years.
No, he's not been around that long. Yeah.
No, but he's a massively long hitter. He's a really nice chap. He can play properly. He's had his first win last year in Andalusia.
Yeah, breakthrough,
And he's going to be a player that I think will just shoot further and further nearer to number one in the world rankings. Not saying he's going to be number one, but I think he'll make his way towards the top 20.
That is a bold prediction.
We'll get to the predictions section a little bit later on. Let's just tell you some of the South Africans that are playing, because obviously, being down in Joburg, all their big hitters are going there. Eric Van Rooyen is, Schwartzel, Grace, Justin Harding, Sterney, who you mentioned, Brandon Stone, Xander Lombard, Katsia, Norris, Fickart, Burmester, Justin Walters, just to mention a few.
Schwartzel and Grace are interesting ones, coming off of injuries and not particularly good a couple of years. Both of them played well in the Alfred Dunhill Championship at the back end of last year. 2020 is a big year for them. They need to find that form again. So, and we all know how good they are at home, the South Africans. They're two really interesting ones this week.
Do you know, here's another thing, Kit. You know, the wheel of fortune. A lot of these players have been around a long time, you know, and the wheel falls. And it's always as you're coming around, you're clinging on like a hamster onto the bottom rails, looking at that little dish.
Well, when you're a hamster, you can only stay on the bottom. There's no choice to be made, is there?
You're hanging on the outside of the wheel.
But at least you stay on the wheel, and you don't fall off.
If you can just get through and up the other side, you think, that's me on
the rise again.
On the merry-go-round for another year.
On the rise.
And these, you know, lads fall off and games go downhill. It's just natural. It's just
Well, there's only so many spots at the top table, and we all know about the young talent that's coming through. Someone's got to be the older guy or the guy that loses form that misses out. And
also, some of the young ones just won't be good enough, Richard.
No, they won't. I mean, you know.
There's not room for everybody, is there?
At the end of the day, you fell off it, Robert.
Sullivan, Paisley, Wood, Pepperell, the English guys, David Law, Scotsman, who's playing some nice stuff, hasn't been out on tour for more than 5 minutes, very good. No Ernie Els, though.
No, he's going to be playing in America.
Yeah.
Champions Tour.
Debut
this month, I was going to say.
His debut.
Yeah.
And, of course, the championship will be part of the Open qualifying series, so you have a chance if you finish right up there to make yourself available for the Open.
Top five in the top 20.
At Royal St. George's.
Top five, top 20? I think it's top five, top 20.
There's normally three spots there.
Yeah, three spots inside the top 10. And then if there's a tiebreaker, it goes to the highest
world-ranked player.
Was it the same last year? Because I thought I did that last year. I thought it was five in the top 20. Why am I thinking five in the top 20? I'm thinking of the Open Championship rules for the Scottish Open, aren't I, from many years ago.
You can answer that, Richard.
Yes, I think you're right. It is three in the top 10.
Definitely.
In fact, you are definitely right, Kip.
Thank you.
So predictions-wise, the format is as thus. You get two picks, one from outside last year's top 50. And anyone that you think might win, 20 points for the winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, and minus 5 points, crucially, if you miss the cut. And a lot of players are going to miss the cut with a field of 240 this week.
Yes, they will. I mean,
colossal amount of players.
Well, yes, if it's 65 and ties make the cut, Robert, if it's exactly 65 and have a field of 240, what's that, 175? We'll miss the cut.
What percentage of the field would that be?
That would be 25% get through.
Close enough.
Nearly.
Close enough.
I mean, I can give you 23.8%, you know.
Can I just give you the current standings?
Yes, go
presenters are on 20 points, co-presenters 15, and the guests are on 30 points with an early lead.
Love it.
Right, predictions, Richard. You've had a flavour of the field.
Yes, I'm going to go...
Who's your banker and who's your outsider?
Okay, Eric Van Rooyen.
Yeah, that's your banker.
And outside of the top 50 from last year's race in Dubai, I'm going to go for Brandon Stone.
Oh, very good. So you've got two South Africans.
Correct and right. You're through to the next round.
And
Robert.
Kit?
Good shout. I'm going to be really left field for my banker and go with defending champion Louis Oosthuizen coming in great form.
That's all right, Nate. Anyway, no apologies required.
You know, I just want to feather that lead that the guests have got. And my outside pick is also another South African, Sean Norris, absolutely tearing it up on the Japan tour the last couple of years, finished second the last 2 years on their money list, coming back home. Hasn't played a huge amount of golf on home soil in that time, but I think, you know, South African in South Africa, great form, just on the fringes of the top 50 on the world now as well.
Do you know, I think choosing Louis Oosthuizen is a brave pick, because how many people, you think about it, not many people come back and defend.
It's not brave, it's an absolute cop-out of a pick, I'll be honest. He's an absolute class, plus a defending champ, plus it's in South Africa, plus he's in good form. And now he's obviously going to be one of those 175 that misses the cut, but he won't.
No, he
he's
won't be.
Definitely going to be in contention.
So that leaves me with Xander Lombard from outside the top 50 last year.
Yes.
And Justin Harding from this year is my pick.
Justin Harding. He went a bit quiet after winning in Qatar, do you not think?
Yeah, I did. I thought he went a bit quiet, yeah. But I'm...
Ask that, Matt. Did he go... He did go a bit quiet.
He did go a bit quiet.
He did.
Not immediately after. He maintained the form for a little bit, and he had a very good showing at the Masters as well early last year. But yeah, certainly the back half of the year, he just went a touch quiet.
Okay, head to europeantour.com to register for the new season's Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which begins, by the way, in a few weeks' time. Let's remind you of the Race to Dubai top 10, Richard, at the start of 2020.
It is very early, and I promise you this will change as the season goes on. In 10th spot is Johannes Vermeulen. Seventh tied, Besling, Brandon Grace, Charles Schwartzel. Then in sixth is Antoine Rosner. Paratori is fifth, Joel Scholham fourth. Third is Adam Scott. Second is Rasmus Højgaard. And first is the Spaniard, Pablo Larrazábal.
OK, let's catch up now with a former South African Open champion who's preparing to return back to the European Tour after a long layoff. Graham Storm, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, how's the... Obviously, we're going to ask you on a medical extension how your injury is.
Yeah, I mean, my wrist's still not 100% right. I'm still working really hard and I'm trying to get that right for next week. It's still always going to be a little bit stiff. It's just a little bit difficult to keep it mobile, especially with the cold weather back here. So I'm looking forward to getting out to the Middle East.
Are you pain-free?
I wouldn't say I'm exactly pain-free. It's still a little bit niggly at times where it just causes me a little bit of discomfort, but it's one of those things I'm going to have to put up with. I've just got to grin and bear it.
Well, listen, injuries are really hard to get back from. It's a lot of physio, isn't it, you have to do? That's the difficult thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of physio, a lot of soft tissue therapy as well, working on different areas, not just the wrist, because everything's linked from the neck down all the way down to the hand. So, you know, I've had a lot of therapy in those areas. But the main thing that I've been doing is in the rehab is just try and get fitter, stronger. I've lost about 6-7 kilos, so I'm down to about 80 kilos now. So I've lost quite a bit of weight. Just try and take the pressure off the wrist area and try and make the body more active in the golf swing.
Right, yeah, well, good luck with that. Listen, going back to your win, the South African Open, I remember I was commentating on that one. What are your memories of that playoff with Rory? Because that sort of it did turn everything around for you, didn't it, that week?
Yeah, it did, yeah. I mean, it was quite a surreal week. And I suppose the memories are that, you know, I just stuck to my game plan. I played the best I possibly could. I was never going to be able to, play the same sort of game as Rory. I was never going to be able to challenge him in that way. I just had to stick to my guns, the way that I play the game, and hope that he wouldn't kind of run away or get too far ahead. And I managed to stick in there. Obviously, I had a 3-shot lead going into the last round, which helped. And then obviously the playoff was all about I've got to stick to my game plan. Will he make a mistake? Which in the end he did. And thankfully I came out victorious.
Graham, as you approach your comeback now, how much can you draw on memories like that, especially as everyone's thinking about it now, the South African Open's being played? How much can you draw upon that to regain that form when you're back?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they're the sort of things that you've got to look back to. I mean, obviously I've looked at tape from when I played in South Africa. I've looked at tape when I played in France when I won in 2007. I've tried to stay as positive as possible, but I know that my body is completely changed from those days, and I'm going to have to change my golf swing to suit. It's just the memories and what have you, but I'm trying to look forward and try and put everything in place, be better prepared, be physically better prepared in every way, to be honest. So, yeah, it's great to have those memories and great to look back at the success that I've had on the European Tour, but I've got to try and look forward as much as I possibly can.
And speaking of looking forward, Graham, have you got a definite start point where you're definitely going to tee it up?
Well, I'm definitely teeing it up at this moment in time. I'm teeing it up at Abu Dhabi. I've got 17 tournaments on a medical, so I've got to spread it out over the full season, basically. It's quite difficult to set the schedule for myself personally because I've got to spread it out and I'm not able to play 3-4 weeks in a row like I used to, and obviously I'm not getting any younger and physically I'm struggling, so therefore I've got to play 2 weeks, then take like a month break and then come back and play another 2 weeks, and that's kind of how I've set my schedule, but I'm all set to tee it up next week.
But is that purely from a wrist preservation point of view or how you can actually get into tournaments point of view?
It's a bit of both. Obviously, I can't play 3 weeks in a row, so I'll play 2 weeks and then take a little bit of a break and come back. But obviously, I've only got 17 tournaments on the medical because I played 8 tournaments in 2018. And so I'm limited to the amount of starts that I can have.
But you can pick them?
Yeah, I can pick them, fortunately, because I'm still in a winner's category, so I get to choose
the best events I
possibly can.
You'd obviously have the 8 Rolex events then.
Well, you can't play 8 because you'd have to qualify for the last one for a start.
Exactly, yeah.
You'd have to qualify for the last. Yeah.
I can play the 5.
You can play 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play. So I've planned to play all the Rolex events to give me the best chance possible. But I'm not looking at it from a point of view where I'm making up my medical money for 2018. I'm planning my year so that I've got 17 tournaments to play for 2020. And however many points that I need to accumulate by the end of 2020 is what I've got to try and achieve in those events.
When you get into your 40s, it's very rare that you're on an upward curve. You're on a downward curve and you're watching all these youngsters come through. How hard is it being in that position?
Oh, it's very difficult. You know, especially having so much time out and then watching so much golf on the TV. I obviously did a little bit of commentating in 2018, which was great, and got to see it up more closely of how the young ones are coming through, and there's more and more of them coming through, isn't there? You know, obviously we've had one winner already on the European Tour in South Africa. So I know how difficult the task is to come back, especially at my age. But at the end of the day, it's my job and it's what I have to do, and it's what I have to do to support my family. So, and that's all I know. I don't really know anything else but play golf. I've been a pro now for 20 years, so it's been a long time, and it's something that I've got to get back to. And hopefully, fingers crossed, then I can be successful and try and keep progressing forwards.
Having been forced to sit at home and watch it on your sofa and out of the commentary booth, how much have you missed being on tour and being in those competitive situations?
Yeah, that's the bit that I've missed, being competitive and being on the golf course and competing against the guys. And obviously, I've missed the banter between the lads on tour and whatever, because there's a great bunch of guys that I get on with. And it's been really difficult to sit back and just be watching it on the TV. And the commentating helped me because I was able to see what was going on, and I was felt as though I was still involved a little bit. But for 2019 and only being at the Open, although it was difficult to be at the Open, but I enjoyed being there doing the radio. It was great fun. I got to work with Gordon Brand Jr., God rest his soul, so I got to meet some great people that week. And it makes you want to get back onto the golf course and work as hard as you possibly can and get back playing, and that's the target.
When you're a player, Graham, and you're out on tour, we all know how difficult golf is and how difficult it is to perform well week in, week out. But when you had a little commentary stint, how long was it before you forgot that and started calling bad shots? I mean, that's just the worst shot I've ever seen. How long did that take you?
Doesn't take long.
No. Yeah, I don't know why he's done that.
Especially working with you, boxing.
Well, exactly.
Graham, listen, have a fantastic 2020. Great to talk to you. I hope the wrist is, it's going to recover. Do they say it's going to keep getting better even though it's sore right now?
Yeah, I mean, I speak to the surgeon regularly, and they're basically saying that the wrist is fixed. It's just getting it mobile and keep it moving all the time. And this is why I'm in the gym as much as I possibly can, just to keep the body going. And it is what it is. I've just got to put up with it. Like I said earlier, just grin and bear it. And hopefully I can come back as good a player as I was when I stopped in 2018.
There's absolutely nothing to stop that happening, Graham. Great to talk to you. A happy new year. And we look forward to seeing you in Abu Dhabi.
Nice to see you,
guys,
mate. I'll see you there, Graham.
Richard will be there saying, I can't believe he's hit a shot as bad as that.
Showing you all, mate. God, I can't believe he's hit it there.
Graham, great to talk to you. Great fun as always. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, Graham.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Take care. Great to talk to Graham. And I really hope he has a really good 2020. Always hard to come back from an injury, especially a wrist as a golfer. That's a poor one. Okay, in other news on the PGA Tour, Justin Thomas made a winning start to 2020 by claiming a dramatic playoff win at the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Thomas held a two-shot lead with three holes to play, but carded two late bogeys for a four-under-par 69, leaving him tied on 14-under alongside Xander Schauffele and Patrick Reed.
Can I ask a quick question? Was that, and you're going to hit me down on the ground, was that three rounds?
Four rounds.
Was it?
Hawaii.
Yeah, I had a quick look. I know it's a different time angle, but I had a look in my paper this morning on the way to work, and it just had the...
It wouldn't be in a paper.
Three-round scores.
It wouldn't be in a paper. Schauffele was eliminated. Let me carry on with the par at the opening extra hole, with Thomas matching Reed's birdie at the first and his par at the second before claiming victory with a three-foot birdie putt at the third playoff hole. So Justin Thomas, again climbing his way up the world rankings, is a brilliant golfer, Richard.
Slightly. I watched him hit a few shots at the... As close as I got to him was the Open Championship when I was having a little walk round. Schauffele, by the way, was the other one. You watch Schauffele play close up. He's magnificent.
Very, very impressive, yeah. Very impressive. Justin Thomas, the win, fourth in the world before he went into the week. Yep. Where is he in the world now?
Justin Thomas, I can tell you exactly where he is, fourth.
Would you have thought he would have moved up?
It's a fairly good field. You would have thought...
The top three have got a nice cushion.
Really, no.
You got
they have.
It's still strange to me, though, when you win a tournament...
That you don't move anywhere.
That you don't shift.
No.
In the world rankings, it's still a bit
strange.
I mean,
listen, Robert, if you're 21st in the world rankings, then you're probably going to move up three or four spots.
Yeah, that's true.
But when you're so near the top, it's very difficult
But he's doing historic things, Justin Thomas. I mean, you look at the other guys that made it to 12 wins as young as he did, and it's the likes of sort of Tiger Woods and absolute legends of the game. He gets a lot of hype, but he's arguably flying under the radar for just how much he's achieving and how quickly he's doing it.
Well, John Rahm's third. You'll get to the world rankings very shortly, Richard.
Well, but John Rahm's producer wants us to do that.
John Rahm's. I got a good stat on John Rahm the other day. That world amateur rankings.
Yes.
He all time has the most amount of weeks as the number one amateur in the world, which is 60. And the second guy is 55, and that's Patrick Cantlay. And he is tied by another guy who played on the European Tour, now playing PGA Tour. I wonder if you can get his name, who is the second all-time amount of weeks as the best amateur in the world. See if you can get who it is.
Is he English or European?
No, he's American. American. Played, I mean, there's not many of them. Played over here on the European Tour, went to the PGA Tour, got his card over there, and he is tied second with Patrick Cantlay as the man who's all-time.
How old?
Peter Uihlein.
Well done, Peter Uihlein, absolutely.
Hang on. Peter Uihlein.
Yeah, that's right. So 60 weeks, 55 weeks, and in fourth place on 48 weeks, all time, was leading this after the first round at Century Tournament Champions.
Oh, who was leading after the first round? God.
Wacker Neiman.
Yes.
Really?
Wacker Neiman is the fourth all-time amount of weeks at world number one amateur.
Peter Uihlein and Brooks Koepka.
Well, the big
still
buddies,
are and were obviously best buddies. Coming up through college in the amateur ranks, it was Uihlein that won US Amateur. Uihlein was the next big thing. And then even when they first got on tour, Uihlein the first couple of years as a pro
was
doing the
most. Brooks was kind of in his shadow a little bit.
Yeah, and then he's suddenly just burst through.
Hasn't that changed around?
Can I give you a stat that you won't know? But you'll like this. You will, Kit. You'll love
this. I love a good stat.
When we were doing Sun City.
Yeah.
Right, I was sitting out on the back veranda with Sam Torrance. Okay, I don't know whether you've been to Sun City, but
yes, I have.
In the compound, so you know what I'm talking about.
Television City.
Correct and right. Yeah. So we're sitting there, and $2.5 million is first prize that Tommy Fleetwood eventually picked up at Sun City. And Sam said to me, he said, $2.5 million. He said, do you know, he said, I've worked out, or the stat man has worked out what I needed for $2.5 million. I said, what was it? He said, 15 wins and 122 top tens, he says, for $2.5 million. He said, and someone's going to pick that up this afternoon.
I'll give you another stat, which was to do with Matt Wolff, who's one of the big names now of the youngsters on the PGA Tour. And there's only two other people that have done this. Let's see if you get it. There's only two other people that have won the NCAAs and the tournament in 1 year. So effectively, you have to win the NCAAs and a tournament in your first year as a pro to do that. Because you're going from amateur to pro. There's only two other people that have done that.
Tiger Woods.
Correct.
Phil Mickelson?
Nope.
No. Who's the other?
You've got to think of someone who was a stellar amateur, turned pro, and did it straight away in their first year.
Did you say Mickelson?
I said Mickelson.
Yeah, that would have been a great guess, but it's not him.
Good guess, but wrong.
You got the amateur bit right. And
Scott Hoke.
No. Texan.
Bob Crenshaw.
Correct. Crenshaw, Wolf, and Woods. How about that for a little three ball?
That's amazing, a good three ball.
That's a pretty pretty rare stat, that.
Well, you can see he's been out and about over the Christmas period. Someone has had their drawbridge down. I've got to keep watching all the wires, haven't I? He's the ones you get at the Christmas party.
That's right.
And, you can clear that table at 14 paces.
And the people you normally have, Richard, you'd be pleased to sit next to me.
Oh, I would.
So let's have a top 10. Pick any top 10 you want, Richard.
Of what? The world rankings?
Yeah, what do you want to read out?
Top 10 of the world rankings. Yeah. Okay, in 10th is Tommy Fleetwood, and then another Englishman. Justin Rose is 9th. 8th is Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods is 7th. 6th is Patrick Cantlay. Dustin Johnson then comes in at number 5. 4th is Justin Thomas. John Rahm is 3rd, as you said earlier. McIlroy is 2nd. Brooks Koepka is leading the way.
Now, slight change of pace because, you know, we lost Al Gordon at the end of 2019, and we've just lost another legend of the European Tour, Edinburgh Jimmy, James Ray, better known as Edinburgh Jimmy, and he passed away on the 2nd of January. He has caddied for Paul McGillian. Paul, he was still on Paul's books right up until he'd passed away, and he certainly caddied for you, Richard.
He did. He was my first ever caddy on the European Tour way back in 1983. Caddied for me for virtually a whole season, I would say. And in those days, it was £25 a round. And if you missed the cut, they didn't get paid over the weekend. And I always remember Jimmy said to me, I won't do the Scottish accent, but he was a lovely lad. And he used to come up to me, he said, just to make it very clear, Poxall, he said, I don't do yardages. I don't do, he said, I just eyeball everything. Mm. So I said, what? He said, I don't do it. He said, you can have a yardage book if you want. He said, I just eyeball everything. He said, now get on with it. And he was one of the blokes. You didn't ever argue with Jimmy, otherwise he'd end up punching you in the side of the face.
Jimmy caddied for me for years, and Mark Rowe, Ian Poulter, so many other players. But I tell you what, lot of unbelievably funny stories with Jimmy, and most of them you can't tell on this show.
No.
Not until we start subscriptions. But I will tell you a couple of things. Every time he caddied for me, I always used to say, and he said the same thing every time, Jimmy, can I carry that bunker? You go, no, there's about 3 tonne of sand in it, which is not really the answer I was looking for. Yeah. Where's the flag, Jimmy? It's in the caddy's hand.
Yeah.
It's absolutely useless. And he would do that to wind you up on the golf course. Very, very funny. McGinley said he was an important part of our player-caddy dynamic inside the team room at the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles. Of course he was, as he kept the mood light and fun for all of us. And I do believe he bought a big second-hand estate car that he backed up to chuck all the freebies in. Poulter wrote in his book, Ian did, that you have to like your caddy, and I like Jimmy. He was on the bag for my first 3 years on the European tour, and he's probably the most generous, kind-hearted person I've ever met. He'd give you his last 10 quid, and Jimmy would absolutely give you his last £10.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Great,
really, I couldn't believe it when I heard that. In fact, Paul McGinley rang me from America, so it's bad news, Rob. As soon as he said that, I knew exactly what it was. And Edinburgh Jimmy. The stories will go on.
They will.
They are incredible. You can check out more of the tributes to Edinburgh Jimmy at europeantour.com. Okay, let's go to things about 2020 and golf and the European Tour. Players to watch. So we're going to mark your card for 2020 by picking and discussing some players to watch on the European Tour. So first up, we're going to talk about who might win the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year for 2020.
Okay.
Do what Bob McIntyre did.
Oh, that was a fairly impressive season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well,
where did he finish it? He did finish inside the top 10 of the race in Dubai, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And who were the two? It was Kurt Kitayama and who won twice on the tour, and the other chap who
Guido
won twice.
Guido Migliozzi
won twice. And that must be a first, that I would imagine, wouldn't you? That two players win
you
twice.
You both win twice in your rookie season, you don't win
it. Win,
yeah.
And don't win.
Depends how you... I mean, it's position. It's not a discussion with a panel. It's just pure position in the race to the bye. So it makes it clean.
Okay, well, I'll go for my Rotty, which is R-O-T-Y, Rookie of the Year. I'll go for Callum Hill.
Another Scotsman?
Yeah, young Scots lad. The Scots actually have started to find a little bit of form. You sort of blanketed around the European Tour, it has to be
said. David Law's another one.
David Law, yes. Yeah, winner last year as well. David Law early
on. Conor Syme, Ewan Ferguson. There's a whole generation, and seeing what Bob's done is going to help
them
push
on,
as you
see. Yeah, definitely. So I'll go for Callum Hill, Robert. I mean, it's up to you. Who's going to go next? You or...
No, Kurt Kitayama over there.
I've been called worse. And now I'm preparing myself for a big debate here because I'm going to go Victor Hovland.
Can't have Victor Hovland. He's not a European Tour member.
But he will be.
That's only supposition.
But he will be.
He's only supposition.
It's a Ryder Cup year.
It doesn't matter. You don't know. That's a decision that has to be made. He hasn't joined the Tour yet. He could have done. He hasn't done. So you can't have him.
Okay, on the basis that when he does become a European Tour member, if he plays enough events,
non-discussion. It's
definitely
not even
Victor Hovland.
It's not even a discussion.
I'm answering Victor Hovland for almost all of them.
Pick someone else.
My second would be...
Because he's not eligible right now, so you're just assuming that he will be. So
I am assuming
he's a non-starter.
He will be, but when he does become eligible, Victor Hovland...
Everyone would have picked him, so we're not going to pick him.
Victor Hovland, but... I'm going to go with...
So that's a non-pick.
You can go with Victor Hovland if you want.
You can. It's a non-pick. He won't count.
I'm going to go with Matthew Jordan. Actually.
Very good.
Ninth on the Challenge Tour last season. Won in Italy. I mean, his amateur record was fantastic. Won the St Andrews Links Trophy in 2017. Also played the Walker Cup that year. Then backed it up with the Lytham Trophy in 2018. And has been really impressive. Consistent early on, which not all players are. He got the win, and he is dangerous on any links course. A links course or a course that plays linksy, anywhere with wind, this guy is ready to compete on those courses straight away. Tied fifth at the Dunhill Links last year.
We don't get much wind these days,
We used to play a lot more links golf then.
It's the global nature of the tour, isn't it? You're playing fewer links courses because more of it is being played outside of Great Britain and a few of the other European nations that have the links style courses.
Do you like links golf?
I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I love it.
It's my favourite form.
I love it.
I like desert golf, but that's just because I'm weird. Yeah, the only kind of golf I can't get in the UK.
Well, no, you like the nice greenery and then the white bunkers.
It frames it. I always play better on desert golf courses, whether it's to do with the framing of it and also invariably it's nice weather and and not quite as brutal as the Lynx course.
When you say better, Kit, what sort of a score would that be?
A little clue. Mid to high.
When you say better.
Mid to high 70s so on a nice day.
It doesn't matter, I think, what we're talking about. It doesn't matter.
I have a wonderful time, matter. I think, is
if
the
I was mid
point.
To high 70s, I didn't like the scenery.
That's what they used to call, you know, our friend Stephen Bottomley, Tenerife, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, usually mid-70s.
Early 80s.
Occasionally higher 60s, and every so often low 80s.
I'd take Less that him. All day long.
Would you take that?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Adrian Meronk, who is the first Polish player to really make any sort of a stand on the European Tour.
Yeah.
26, had 3 years in the Challenge Tour, 10 top 10s last year, and won, and has just become the first Polish player to make a cut in the European Tour, and... I think he's trending in the right direction. I like the fact you've had a few years on the Challenge Tour, because sometimes when you go bump, bump, you bounce like that. Sometimes you get to the main tour a little bit quick. It's a stark change from playing Challenge Tour golf to main tour golf. These are all theories, but obviously he's a very good player, and I'm gonna follow his progress through the season, no doubt about it. Quite a nice thing to win the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year. It's quite a nice thing to win.
Some incredible names on that trophy.
Yeah. I didn't win it.
No, I missed out by £5. I'll talk you through it if you want.
But that was a lot of money in those days.
Grant, I'll tell you what it was.
So in your first... Let's just put a bit of context on this. So you missed out by £5.
Yeah, something like that.
Right, on your first year.
Grant Turner won it.
Okay, so yeah, I remember Grant. You finished where?
80. I was either 82nd or 83rd.
So that's what I'm saying. So Robert McIntyre's top 10 in the race to Dubai to win the Rookie of the Year is unbelievable.
Sensational.
That's kind of where I'm going with it. Because quite often you finished 80th and you're the best of that batch that year.
5,100 and something pounds.
But 5,000 quid in those days was quite a big finish somewhere. So who have you gone for, Richard, just to recap?
I've gone for Callum Hill.
Kit?
Victor Hovland / Matthew Jordan.
No, Victor Hovland. He is banned from this conversation until he becomes a European Tour member. We all know, by the way, what a brilliant player Victor Hovland is. He will not be a surprise to anybody, whatever he does or achieves this year, no question. Adrian Meronk, for me, the Polish lad, and we'll see how they all go through the season.
Yeah, that's a good pick, actually.
Okay, Richard, European Tour member to go from outside the top 50 in the world. Now, this is a difficult one.
Yeah.
To get inside the top 20 of the world. That's a hard call, and it's quite possible nobody does it.
No. Only Shane Lowry did it this year, and that was the Open Championship. So,
right, Robert, I'll tell you who I've gone for. I've gone for Christian Bersadenhout, 87th in the world rankings as of now. Five top tens, first win last year in Andalusia Masters, down on the Costa do Sol. There's a few that might be able to do it, but he's my pick.
Matthias Schwab for me, especially the back end of last season. Yep. He was on fire. 10 top 10s last year, 13th in stroke average.
Turkey was good, wasn't it, in the lights?
Yeah,
finishing under the lights, looked amazing.
I thought he was going to win that in the end, but it was a great event. Really exciting, great playoff with all the guys involved and everything going on. But Schwab, currently ranked 79th, racking up the top 10s. He just needs that first win, and I think he'll really, really break into the top tier once he has that.
Top 20 in the world, though, as you say. I think his trajectory is going to keep going in the right direction, but to make top 20...
I think if we were being realistic, you'd say top 50, certainly, top 40, maybe, top 20.
Top 40 would be brilliant.
Certainly.
It would
top
be brilliant.
20 needs to be playing and playing well in the big events, getting into and competing in majors and WGCs.
I can only see one guy there that's sort of hovering and is as massively underachieving, who could, if he gets it all together and gets his 6 inches between the ears in the right space, make it into the world's top 20, and that's Thomas Peters.
Well, when he came through, and obviously he was amazing in the Ryder Cup.
4 points.
4 points as
first
a rookie,
Ryder
led
Cup.
The team. Oh. Yeah, he's been great when he's got in contention in the past. Like you say, it's just those 6 inches, isn't it? If he can get that under control, he's got the game all day long.
Again, you know, it's a slow burn. We'll watch that for the season, see if anyone can make it to the top 20. Now, the next one is Europeans that haven't made it yet to the Ryder Cup to play their very first one.
You want me to pick a Ryder Cup player making their debut.
Yes.
Is that correct? Right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go for Matthias Schwab.
Were you inspired by the previous chat from young Kit Alexander? Or?
No, I watched before I pulled the drawbridge up and went for Christmas. I was watching Schwab quite a lot at the end, and he is good. Incredibly impressive.
He is good, yeah.
And he's got the 1,000-yard stare. He's got the Henrik Stenson stare as well.
He reminds me...
A little bit of Henrik.
Kit. No, he doesn't. He reminds me, with his demeanour and the way he goes about his business, of a young Bernard Langer.
Yeah, I've heard bad. That comparison. That's
what I
one.
See with him. I see a young Bernard Langer, very even keeled, very focused, just like Bernard was. That's what I see in him. So I think he's a keeper. He's going to stay. Right. Okay, Kit, who are you going for?
Are we assuming that Shane Lowry is a given? Because that we haven't mentioned him, but in our notes we were given in prep, kind of Shane Lowry was already suggested for us that we had to come up with one in addition. So we should at least mention Shane Lowry as a given. But beyond that...
As a given pick to make it
I
for
think,
the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I think he'll okay. But that's kind of... So beyond that, I'm going boldly that there will be two Austrians on this Ryder Cup team, because I 100% agree with you, Boxy, on Schwab. And you've got to go with Bernd Wiesberger, come back from injury, 3 wins in 2019.
Yeah.
2 of them were Rolex Series events. He's up into the top 20 in the world rankings, I think. No, he's not. He's top sort of 30 in the world rankings, my mistake. But he's on fire. If he carries anything like the form he had last year into this year, he'll be there without any trouble.
If he doesn't make it, that'll be more of a shock.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's kind of got himself right in the box seat, so he should make it. Mm-hmm. But there's pressure in that as well. So yeah, I get that. I'm going to add to your names with a player who played very well last year. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, never mind improving, he'll make the side. And if he improves, he'll fly in. And that's Robert McIntyre.
Mm. Yeah, no good. Yeah. Well, he's earned a nice few points already, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He's got a few points
Schwab.
Up. Yeah, so is Schwab, yeah.
But then the points get ratcheted up.
Yeah, they do.
The closer we get, so we get more form
players,
which is great.
When you look at, you get to sort of Masters time, you think, well, there's your team. There is so much to play for beyond the Masters, where all the points get ramped up. It can change violently.
Where do the points stop? At the BMW PGA?
Again, yeah, it started there. It counts twice. It starts there and ends there.
Good idea.
Which is a great closing points total, you know, event to round it all up. That it's fantastic.
Well, I couldn't agree.
Back at Wentworth. It's a great idea. Great idea on the European Tour. And then anyone to watch? Anyone that you want to watch?
Yeah, well, am I allowed to mention anyone I've mentioned before? Because I think
anyone but
well...
Victor Hovland.
Okay. I'm going to Matthias Schwab again. Matthias Schwab.
This is not, everyone is going to watch what Victor Hovland does this year because he has a stellar career in front of him. There's no doubt about it. He's an amazing player. So, and I actually on the range. Where was I last year? I think I was at the John Deere Classic of all places, and I stood behind Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, and Matt Wolf. I just stood behind watching the three of them hit it.
Well, Victor's got a bit of catching up to do. He came out as the US Am champion.
And what I'm going to say is, although the big noise has been around Matt Wolf largely, Victor Hovland as well with his performances in the majors, Colin Morikawa looks to me to be a phenomenal player. So I think watching the three of those, see which one comes out on top.
I've not seen him play.
He's fantastic.
Is he?
I mean,
how old?
When Victor Hovland won, Colin Morikawa nearly won the same event. When Bryson DeChambeau hit a 6-iron over water to about 6 feet and hold it for an eagle, he thought, that's, you know, when you've got that feeling, rush, that's the one that wins it. And he celebrated like the win. And Matt Wolf on top of him, eagle the same hole.
Morikawa has been actually
right there
the most consistent of the three since coming on. Wolf has got the win, Hovland's made the noise. But in terms of racking together top 10s, top 20s, as well as getting that win,
Morikawa's a bit like, consistency wise, Xander Schauffele. Mm-hmm. He's a bit like him. You see, watch Xander play. That's not far off how Colin Morikawa plays. Anyway, that's why, again, going back to our very first question that we posed, what sort of a year is 2020 going to be? I think it's going to be mega. Rich, anyone you want to keep your eye on this year? For any reason whatsoever.
Schwab's the only one.
Okay.
John Rahm for me, top of the list.
Third in the world weaknesses.
At the moment.
As a player, no weaknesses.
Just unbelievable. You look at what he's achieved since turning pro. He's won 3 times each... the last 3 years,
and his
which is his
average.
First 3 years. Scoring average so low, 32 top 10s in addition to the wins. There's no weakness in his game.
He's 32?
32 top 10s that's... in 3 years, as well as the 9 wins, by the way.
Yeah.
Won the race to Dubai, obviously, at the back end of last season. He's got a really good record in the majors already. It's the only thing missing.
Let's see if Brooks Koepka comes back from injury successfully, because that's going to be key. Because he, then Rory, then John Rahm... then Justin Thomas,
Tiger.
They're all getting. Can Tiger get to world number one again? I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
How
much is he going to play though? This is the thing.
That's true.
How much? We're yet to see if Tiger can put together, you know, a solid season, playing in all the big events. Then, if he does that, you might look at it differently.
But arguably, when he was world number one, he was only playing, what, 17, 18 events a season? Yeah, he played the big events and he won the big events. Yeah.
And he played golf courses that he won on all the time.
Exactly.
You know, keep going back to Bridgestone, keep going back to Muirfield Village, keep going back to Bay Hill.
Torrey Pines.
He won on the same courses all the time. He was amazing, though, Tiger. Is amazing. So your player to watch is Schwab. Your player to watch is John Rahm.
John Rahm, yeah.
And my player to watch is, I'm going to watch Robert McIntyre and see how he goes
Robert.
Interested to see how he keeps that progression. That's the hard thing as a player. When you get to a level, to keep that progression going, it's a difficult thing.
I thought his putting was fantastic last year. Six feet and under.
I thought his ball striking was tremendous.
I think he added 15 yards from the start of the season to the early summer, early part. I heard he added 15 yards.
Did you see him hit close up?
Yeah,
because I've been in the box and I never get to see them hit close
up. You could go to the range on a Wednesday, Rich.
Not enough time.
You've plenty of time.
I've got homework to do.
You've got plenty of time.
I have homework
to do. That takes an hour and a half. You could go to the range.
Takes longer than that. You don't know what goes into...
I've seen it.
How can I stay where I am for 21 years if you only put an hour and a half in, Robert?
The art of the bluff goes a long way.
Well, I'm a good talker then.
That's right. And there's no doubt about it. I've watched Rahm on the range several times. I make a note to go and watch him because I want to see people do what I couldn't do. That's what floats my boat, which is pretty much all of them.
Well, that's all you need. That was the only. Just drop 50 balls down. I'll show you what it's all about.
I just call that watch and copy.
Check out the five players to watch in 2020 article on EuropeanTour.com. They pick five rookies: Rasmus Højgaard, Adrian Meronk, Antoine Rosner, Callum Hill and Matthew Jordan.
They've just been copying us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they kind of are the standout ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's always surprises.
There are always surprises.
Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, all the great golfers and the great tournaments there are, we've listed, 10 guys in with a shout of getting to world number one, plus there's others. And you know there'll be other guys that come through.
I don't think there's 10 guys who can get to world number one.
Seven, maybe.
I don't even think it's seven.
Really? I'd chuck sort of Cantlay and Schauffele in there as outside possibilities that you wouldn't write off.
Yeah.
Good point. Ray Stubbs. He does sound like Ray Stubbs.
Ray Stubbs, young Ray Stubbs. You can finish this now, Robert.
Shall I? You've heard
the music, haven't you?
Yeah.
That is it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date at EuropeanTour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Next week, we will review the action at Ram Park, 240 professionals trying to earn a crust, and look ahead to the first Rolex Series event of the season, the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, presented by EGA. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for
Callum Hill as my rookie of the year. Do you want me to go through the whole lot?
No, we're just talking about the next event on the European Tour, which is in Rand Park.
Oh, yes, I was thinking about Abu Dhabi then.
You're bluffing.
I have gone for Eric Van Rooyen.
And?
As my outsider, Brandon Stone.
Yeah, very good.
And I've gone for Louis Oosthuizen and Sean Norris.
And I've gone for Xander Lombard and who is my main pick?
Well, come on, trawling.
Justin Harding, there we are.
No, it was very good. Winner in Qatar.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you all next week. From all of us here, it's goodbye.